back for the second hour of the Officer Jack McElam program. Good to be back with you. And I'll tell you what, we have a serious problem in America in so many areas, folks, and we discuss them all the time on Republic Broadcasting Network. We're so pleased that we have Republic Broadcasting Network. We can talk about these things. And so many of them are crucial to our lives today in America. And one is protecting our children from pedophiles and our grandchildren. And I'm just going through that myself with my son right now, and it is horrific. The family is destroyed. The little girl, little 10-year-old girl, will, I pray that she'll be okay one day, but she's just in horrible shape right now after going through this pedophilia for about a year. And we can't seem to get anybody that cares about it in the government. Matter of fact, just the opposite. They're trying to cover it all up. John, it's so good to have you on today. This kind of helps me because I want to strike out at these bad guys out there that hurt children. And when I was a cop, I'll tell you what, I got to know that cops hate pedophiles worse than anything else, child rapists and child molesters. And if they didn't have good control over themselves, these people would never get to court. When we carry these little broken babies and ripped up little babies and children into hospitals in our arms and see the devastation, brother, and we're talking about here, John, we're talking about children that have been snatched. These kids don't agree, like the NAMBLA organization that say these kids want sex with adults and they're craving sex with adults. John, that's not the case, is it?
Well, that's certainly one element. There are ones that get brought into it foolishly as young people and with rewards of drugs and financial and other things, and pretty soon they're deeply involved in it. Others are snatched, of course, like I described in the one case.
Yeah.
In Paul's case, for example, he was just a young boy that wasn't very carefully cared for from a broken family. And in the case of the Boys Town kids, you know, you had people there, then one thing or another, the kids got involved with certain people who were supposed to be taken care of them. Anyway, there's a cross-section of people. And when I wrote this book, I think I mentioned earlier that Colby told me was the one to write. He said, you get as far away from this thing as you can. You have no idea how serious it is. And he says, the best way you can do to protect yourself, I said, I should maybe carry a gun, huh? And he laughed. I said, no, that'll get you killed. I says, so what? He says, just tell your story. Whether ever one person ever believes it or reads it, it's not important as long as it's out there, doing you in or hurting you or publicly, you know, we'll just bring attention to you and give credibility to you. So I sat down and literally wrote everything I knew at the time about it and the case and what I had done and up to and including just all kinds of strange things. And that first edition that came out, what? I guess, God, it's been 10, 12 years ago now. That first edition generated quite a bit of attention, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, now I have a new edition, and it involves a lot of other things, because after that first edition came out, I got involved in some really wild cases. I represented the militia of Montana and won those cases, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
Involving some stuff there, and then I got involved in the Oklahoma bombing. I represented the grand jurors there. You know, the judge was going to order them that they couldn't look at anything beyond McVeigh and Nichols. Do you remember that?
Right. I remember. And, cover up.
Well, I was representing some of the families, and I was going to file a motion. I think I put this in the book. Maybe I don't know. I was going to file a motion to keep the building standing. Do you remember the building?
I remember that.
And, of course, I had to... You're singing again.
Okay. Sure. We'll be right back. This is a very quick break here, folks, and we'll have a little time with John when we get back. Second hour of the Officer Jack McElam program, and a little later on, we're going to open the phone lines up. So if you'd like to call and ask anything of John, we'll be right back. Continue on.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. You cannot escape the headlines and the warnings about where the value of the U.S. dollar is going. Since November of last year, the 10-year U.S. Treasury has lost 1.6% of its value. The popular S&P 500 index has inked out a small 4.6% gain, while gold and silver have returned 20%. There's no doubt gold and silver have regained its luster as an asset class, and the reasons are simple. The twin U.S. deficits have spiraled out of control, and the accumulated debt in the United States has become way too high to be effectively ever repaid. It will either have to default or, more likely, inflate. There's never been a more important time to call Republic Trading Group to secure your future. Call us today and speak to Jeffrey Bennett or myself. Call that number at 1-800-691-7898.
Reality of the world today and the thick government agents, the heads of these government agencies today, if you want to see why America's in trouble, you need to get a copy of the Franklin cover-up. You have to do that because it is so astounding. The research and the documentation in that publication is very, very good. And when you come away from reading that book, and anybody reads it, and you know that a lot of this has to be true because it's so well documented. And John, before we get off Bill Colby, I was impressed when I first read your book a long time ago, 10, 12 years ago, something like that, pretty much when it first came out, about something Bill Colby told you, and I can't recall it, but it was something about if you were going to be successful or not in revealing the truth about these very, very powerful men in business and men in banking and in, you know, the Catholic Church and in the government and everything. And what was that one thing that impressed me that I can't think of now, and I wish I had that statement?
I don't know which particular thing, because I wrote a whole bunch of things he told me that I thought were kind of interesting, and I remember one thing that's completely irrelevant here.
Uh-huh. Well, he was telling
but he was telling me one day, which I should have maybe made more mention of in my book, you know, this is 10, 12, 15 years ago when we were really heavy in this thing, but he was warning me that there's a, he said, you can have an army of people marching on you with guns,
uh-huh.
or you can have an army of illegal people coming into your country. In either case, you're going to wake up with a big problem on your hands. That's when he was concerned about what was going on the Texas, down there on the borders, and he warned. And sure as heck, I think about that every once in a while, because I ignored that one at the time.
Right. Well,
but anyway,
right.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I think I just touched on the Oklahoma deal, you know, and so I was filing this motion, and it was public knowledge down there in Oklahoma at the time. I was going to file this motion to keep the building standing because I had a right to try to do that, representing some of the kids that had been killed, you know, his family with some kids.
Yeah.
And so then just the night before I was going to call, do it, and file it, and at least buy some time with a hearing or something, I got a call from, who was this guy? He was the attorney for McVeigh. I'm trying to remember.
Right, yeah. Was that,
Say the name and I'll know it is. Huh?
Yeah. But you and General Ben Parton were both told that he was going to take care of that, and you didn't have anything to worry about. Right?
I was told, I got his name in the book, I think I mentioned it.
Yeah, I can't
look
think
it up.
Of his name either.
Yeah. It was the attorney for McVeigh.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, and I was going to do that, and he called me personally and said, ask me not to because he wanted to file. And I said, well, heck, if you're filing it, you have an absolute right automatically to keep the building standing because he was representing, quote, a defendant in a criminal action.
Right.
And as any lawyer or anybody listening to me knows, he had a right then to preserve the evidence, whereas me, on just a plaintiff civil case trying to get damages, didn't have an automatic right. You know, you have to fight for it.
Sure.
Follow what I'm saying?
Standing. Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I took his word for it. And
he lied.
Then the next day, I'm watching on TV, and they're talking about how it's all going to be destroyed and blah, blah, blah that day and bombed.
Yeah.
And, you know. And so I call him in a panic, and finally I reach his secretary or no, his second in command there.
Yeah.
I think he was ducking talking to me. Anyway, and kind of interesting, I said, why? And he said, well, we found out that it would cost too much money. It cost $30,000, $40,000 just to get the building examined by these bomb experts or whatever they are.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, hey, man, oh, first of all, he wanted me to turn over. Yeah, when he called the first time, he wanted me to turn over to him the right to these experts that had investigated the World Trade Center, you know, some company, Kennedy and Associates or something it's called. Anyway, and I said, well, heck yes. I mean, you've got every right. And so when I called back, I said, hey, man, I turned him over to you. I did everything to help you. He says, yeah, but the government won't give us any money, he claimed, since he was appointed, you know, to defend McVeigh. McVeigh didn't have any money. So anyway, he's appointed and paid for by the government. So he says, well, they wouldn't pay for this, so I don't have the money. And I said, I'll give you the damn money. I'll raise it.
Yeah.
And
but his job
was building was down. But anyway, that's another story.
Destroyed. Yeah.
So I represented
Jones.
Grand.
Wasn't it a guy named Jones, the attorney? Or am I wrong?
I don't like it.
Yeah. Anyway, his job, according to General Ben Parton, who went to him, too, and told him he was going to file papers to try to save the building so he could get in and do an investigation. And the attorney for McVeigh told him, no problem, I'm doing it. So don't you even worry yourself about it. And, of course,
the
building
I was
down.
Doing it, and he got me stopped, and I feel like a fool now and a sucker, but life is like that, I guess.
That's right.
Anyway, so then I did represent the grand jurors, as you may remember on the case, because one of them, I can't remember his name either right now, but anyway, it's in my book. He wanted to quiz and have them call in as witnesses some other people because he thought, he voted 100% to indict McVeigh and Nichols, but he said there's some more involved. They weren't the only ones. They had some blah, blah, blah. And so he wanted to call them in because and the judge threatened him with contempt if he tried to do anything more or talked about it publicly. So he came to me, and I told him the truth. And that was that read the jurors' instructions, and you are the ones in charge. You are the ones in command. You have the right to call the witnesses. The prosecutor is supposed to simply make that possible and do the legal procedures, but you ultimately, grand jurors, and that's the way it is with any grand jury, and most people don't always know this, you are the ones in charge of looking into the total picture. And so he, we made that clear to the court, the judge who was threatening him with contempt, and the next thing that happened, the judge simply dismissed the entire grand jury, so it was a moot issue. Anyway, so I always thought maybe there was, I don't want you to get the idea that I'm a conspiracy addict or anything else, but I'm just giving you the simple facts as they occurred, and they're a matter of record. And
well, the people
I
can
find
make up their mind for themselves.
Huh?
The people can make up their mind for themselves. It seems like the big guys at the top and all these weird bombings in America seem to, all the real evidence doesn't seem to be presented. And the evidence is destroyed and all. And so it's very interesting. I want to ask you, brother, did you do anything in your book, or do you have any thoughts on the porno star that was found in the White House among the among the media there?
Well, you know, that was a big national story.
Yeah.
That was going full bore. I don't know how many TVs, MSNBC and all those were calling me, and I said, I truly don't know. You know what the story was, don't you? The rumor was.
What was it?
Reporter in the White House didn't have to have credentials, didn't have to have anything. Supposedly he had worked here and there, and he was the first one that always would throw the kind of a padded question, almost an easy answer question to the president at the somebody started checking. I don't know how it happened because I wasn't there. I'm just going by what I read and, you know, what you heard. And they wondered, who is this guy? Because he just kind of shows up out of nowhere. Anyway, so then turns out he hadn't been investigated, and he somehow had all the clearances, so he didn't have to go through what all the other reporters did. And then it seems he was doing some other improper activities, sexually involving boys and men or whatever. I don't know the whole story, but as I say, they kept calling me because the story got down. This is Johnny Gosch years later. You remember hearing about that?
I remember that.
And I tell the truth now as I did then. I don't know. I never saw him. They did contact Noreen, his mother, repeatedly, the press did, and she looked at some stuff, some pictures, particularly some birthmarks that this new one had, and she called me about it, and I told her, look, there's a simple solution, and that is ask him to submit to a DNA test.
Uh-huh.
And so she did, and he tried to, whoever he is or whatever he is, whether he is or isn't, he tried to bluff his way. He said, absolutely, I'll submit to it, and then it came time to do it, and he refused and said he couldn't afford it, so I told her, you offer to pay for it. I can get you the money instantly for that.
Right.
Anyway, and so then he refused again, so it's never been done, and he doesn't show up anymore. And he's just hunkered down in his apartment, I understand. I know some reporter went over and talked to him for a while, and then he threw him out, and that's about the last I've heard. But I don't know who he was or wasn't, but that was the hot story going for a while, and they wanted me to contact Paul Benassi because Paul had been in contact with him over the years, you know. And as I point out in the book, he had shown up as part of this ring and on and on and on. Anyway, and I said, I don't know, you know, and I don't know. I know Noreen, I think she said she was 80% convinced he was, in fact, that her boy, but who knows?
That he was?
That he was.
That he was her boy. Yeah. Well, it's interesting how such a story just went away, and we never heard anything more about it.
Well,
but,
remember,
you know,
Noreen,
very interesting how somebody like that could get in the White House
let me give you
with
some
no credentials.
Let me give you some other piece that's in the book.
Uh-huh.
At the trial, Noreen was one of the key witnesses where I won the $1 million judgment.
I see.
I didn't
Hang on to that thought.
To prove my case, huh?
Hang on to that thought. We're coming up on a break. We'll be right back. A couple minutes here with Senator John DeCamp. We'll be right back.
The future of health and wellness is here in a great-tasting functional beverage. What is Zango? Zango harnesses the real power of the Garcinia mangostana, also known as mangosteen fruit. Zango is the only product to use the whole mangosteen fruit in a patented formulation and contains more xanthones than any other product on Earth. Studies are showing that xanthones have positive effects on nearly all of the body's systems, from increased energy to protection from free radical damage. Xanthones deliver a wide range of benefits. Not only is Zango mangosteen extremely healthy, it's also fat-free. Zango is 100% natural. Zango has no artificial colors and no added sweeteners. To learn more about this absolutely amazing health beverage and how it can have a positive impact on your health, or to learn how to become a distributor, please call 1-800-764-8514. That's 1-800-764-8514. Call today.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Folks, I know some of you have been trying to call in, and we've been trying to hold back a little bit here until we could get some of the information out. But, John, would you mind if we open the phone lines up now?
Open them up. Go gangbusters,
baby. Okay. All right, folks. Here's that call-in number if you'd like to call in, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. But I don't want to interrupt you, John, so you just continue on until the phones start ringing.
Okay.
And, by the way, one of our callers called in and told us it was our buddy Hoppy Heidelberg.
Hoppy Heidelberg, I was just going to say. I remember now. Hoppy Heidelberg
right.
was the grand juror. In fact, I seem to remember after we got Hoppy off all this, those threats are going to contempt to put him in jail. He even ran for governor or some doggone thing down there.
I know it. I know it. I hope he's doing well. Very honest. Stand-up guy, and I met Hoppy.
It was kind of funny, you know. We were on Good Morning America and all the programs, and it was right after that when we were on a couple of them, and Hoppy just, I told him, just blow it out straight, Hoppy. He did in the morning, and shoot, it wasn't 12 hours later, the judge dismissed the entire grand jury, so that they couldn't ask any more questions of, anyway.
That's right.
Really interesting at the time.
Sure was. Yes. Well, go ahead and pick up where you left off, brother, and just continue on.
I forgot where I was. Anyway, I was just saying that, I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, so I wrote the book as a self-defense measure at the advice of Colby. And then this TV station, or this TV BBC or some doggone thing out of England came and spent many months here doing a story. They created this film called Conspiracy of Silence. Don't take my word for it. Go back and look at the – I've got it all in the book, the date, everything. And it was to show, and as I understand, literally at the last minute it was pulled from the air. And by the way, I was going to tell you another story. When my book first came out, the first edition, 15 years ago, whatever it was, that first edition, and this latest edition is now, and it has all the Oklahoma bombing and Columbine. I represent Columbine kids, too. But anyway, when that first edition came out, whole bunch of lawyers had a big press conference, said this is the most slanderous, libelous thing ever written, impugning and destroying the names of some of these most respectable people in America, blah, blah, blah. I had a press conference immediately thereafter, and I said exactly this. I agree. It is the most horrible story ever, libel and slander. It would be, except for one defense. Every lawyer knows this rule. Truth is an absolute defense. I said, I didn't write it. I didn't put a name here unless I believed I had the proof to prove it.
Uh-huh.
Well, and not one of them ever filed a lawsuit, except there was one major lawsuit. I'll be honest. There was one. And that was me, Johnny DeCamp, suing something called the Great Atlantic Telecast Company, some TV network on the East Coast out of Wilmington, North Carolina, which, by the way, was where the police chief, after the Omaha police chief, after he got thrown out of that other town where the plane crash was, he got left. That's where he showed up as the new police chief. And yeah, he's been thrown out of there now. But anyway, he had gone on national television there and said, oh, this is the most libelous, slanderous thing ever. And the TV station, you know, they're going to defend their new police chief. So he gets up and they said, we believe this is slander and blah, 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 because the book was circulating in his town there after he had moved there and was the police chief now. So I sued them. Mm-hmm. I sued them, Great Atlantic Telecast Company, for damages.
Yeah.
And apology and blah, blah, blah. And they said, no, no, no way. Yep, I gave them 3 weeks and 2 weeks and 6 days to the day. Their lawyers contacted me back and said, we've done enough investigating. We want to settle and resolve this issue. So we settled, and I'm forbidden by our settlement agreement to reveal, but they had to pay me cash damages, certain amount.
Yeah.
And they had to give an apology 3 nights on the evening news to the senator, former senator from Nebraska, over the issue we said where it was lies or something. Anyway, so that's the only suit so far, but who knows? They sure do keep trying to cause me trouble.
They sure do. Well,
and like I tell you, I get back to where we began. I wish I'd never heard of any of this. I wish I didn't believe any of it. I wish I was naive and innocent as I once was, because I wish I didn't know.
Yes. Understandable, understandable. And what do you think about Jim Rothstein and others?
Well,
Ted,
it's interesting.
Ted Gunderson and others saying that
there's Gunderson,
these pedophile
did you ever hear,
rings.
Yeah, let's hear about. I'll tell you about some of them. Ted Gunderson, you know who he is? Former head of the FBI in Los Angeles, former head of the FBI in Dallas. And he had retired and was a private investigator, had his own firm. He was hired by a bunch of folk, prominent businessmen, some whose names I had mentioned in my book, to come to Nebraska and investigate this thing and prove that I was a big liar. He came here. He did all kinds of investigation. I could see the first time I met him, he was kind of adversarial. He thought I wouldn't talk to him. I agreed I'd tell him anything, answer anything, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Today, then Ted issued his report, and he said, the camp's telling the absolute truth. And he was fired by them immediately, and since then he has become one of my closest friends and over the years.
One of mine,
in fact,
too.
He was the one I hired to go down to Oklahoma after I got hired there, you know, to represent him legally. He was one of the ones I hired to go to. He was the one who headed up the team to go there to the Oklahoma bombing place and do the investigation there for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, folks, and we have Dan on the line from Texas. Dan, hang on through the bottom of the hour here, and we'll pick you up on the other side. Okay. You're listening to the Officer Jack McLam program with Senator John DeCamp. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is Robbie Noel for Republic Trading Group. I want to invite you to visit our new and improved website at republictradinggroup.com or simply click on the banner at rbnlive.com. Getting timely information on critical financial and political news has never been more important. By starting your day with a visit to the site, it will preserve that promise we make to liberty about being ever vigilant. Speaking of which, those who were vigilant about gold and silver this time last year were well rewarded. We also invite you to sign up to our free weekly newsletter and receive special offers from Republic Trading Group. And for those of you who don't have internet access, just give Republic Trading Group a call and speak to either Jeff Bennett or myself, and we'll be happy to arrange the snail mail alternative. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBM, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
In America, we value our liberty. But there's a new movement quietly being pursued by politicians that will take away our precious freedoms. It's been deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim that their objective is to promote trade by removing barriers between the countries of North and South America. In reality, the FTAA is a raw power grab. It will lead to a new government over the entire Western Hemisphere. This supergovernment will steadily take away America's rights, our Constitution, even the freedoms that we love so dearly. Protect your freedoms. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then let Congress know that the FTAA is not an option for America. Stoptheftaa.org and keep America free.
Okay, folks, well, the phone lines are heating up. Yes, sir, I knew they would. John, we have three people on the line now. Would you mind if we go to the phone?
Do whatever. I just hope they're nice people who love me.
Okay, nice people that love you.
Yes, I know, sure. They probably won't be.
Well, I hope it'd be a nice show if it was some of these high officials that were mentioned in your book, but I don't think that's going to happen, John.
Hey, I wish they'd call too. Maybe they will.
Okay, let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, you're on with John DeCamp.
Yes, sir. I hope you accept tough love. I miss love. But it's
tough love, okay.
I'll be a low official, not a high official.
Pardon?
All right.
I'll be a low official, not a high official.
Okay.
About the Oklahoma Federal Building, John Birch said New America Magazine has stuff about it. Someone that the retired expert on ordnance, the U.S. Army, like 30 or something years, on explosives, expert. Retired,
you're talking about Parton?
Yeah, the retired expert from the U.S. Army on ordnance.
Yeah.
And he just retired, and he went there to the federal building and saw it before they destroyed it, destroyed the evidence, of course. And he said that, according to him, it had to be an inside explosion, not an out explosion.
Okay. Are you talking about General Parton?
That sounds familiar. I forgot the guy's name.
Yep. He was the one.
He wasn't with the Army, though.
Pardon?
Yeah, he wasn't with the Army. But that's okay. He was their top explosive.
He was the top explosive. He went there. And here's the shocking part, or the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. I detailed it all in my book, exactly what he said. He and I have become kind of, so to speak, allies. He defends me whenever he gets a chance, and I do the same to him, because
very
we both
good.
Brought out some pretty horrible things that people
yeah.
don't want to believe.
That's
and
right.
So you're not offending me. You're not surprising me. You're not shocking me. He's the very one I mentioned in my book as being the one who agrees totally with me.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, it's fascinating. They said that also the elevator repairman had been there and said that the beams in the elevator
yep.
in different directions was other evidence, as well as the beams that support the building were bent outward, not inward, to prove that it was an explosion from the inside
yep.
of the
building. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I didn't deal with that. All I said was, I don't know. I'm not an expert. That's why I had this firm hired, the Kennedy firm out of New York that did World Trade Center. They
right.
were committed, and so I had to release them. In fact, I found this in the book. In the investigation, I retained the most respected and expensive bomb experts in the world, John A. Kennedy and Associates, Inc., out of Hoffman Estates, Illinois. They had investigated the World Trade Center bombing and are recognized as the world's best, if not the best, in the field. I prepared documents to go to court, blah, blah, blah. Only hours before I was to file, I got contacted by Timothy McVeigh's attorneys, who presented me with two major requests. First, they allowed that they asked that I allow them to file the motions themselves, and they had good legal arguments. I explained that. Their second request was that I release from retainer the bomb investigation team they claimed they wanted. I granted them. And a few hours later, I watched in horror as CNN and all the national news channels reported that McVeigh's attorney had no intent to file any motions, blah, blah,
that's
blah.
Right.
I called McVeigh. I detailed all that, and I bring up General Parton there, too. And I know it sounds, as you listen to me here for the last hour and a half or whatever, that, yeah, one more crazy conspiracy expert. Believe me, if there's anyone in the whole world that doesn't believe in conspiracy, it's me. And I sit here even as I recite these things and read my own book today, and I think, boy, you do sound paranoid and crazy. Everybody's blah, blah, blah. But one of the reasons I've also said at that press conference right afterwards, as I told you here, if I don't have the absolute proof, I don't give a name, I don't make an accusation, and I said, if I'm wrong, sue me, I'll defend myself, because truth is a defense.
Yeah.
And I have been attacked more than a bit, but I repeat, the only lawsuit thus far in 15 years or so, including up to the last edition that just came out, has been mine against him. But I will tell you something else. My conclusion in the book is a new one.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't in the original books. And I think, I don't know if you ever saw this, Jack, but I explained after I had finished one disappointing session in court where the judge ruled because one of the key kids had switched his story and took the Fifth Amendment.
Uh-huh.
And that was a kid named Troy Bonner.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the key witnesses, and then he switched sides, and as he had been grabbed up by the authorities as we walked into the courtroom. He had been taken aside, and when he came out, he was head hung low, wouldn't look at me, and then he just whispered to me, they told me if I talk, I'll go to prison for 20
yeah.
years, just like Alicia, just like Alicia.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So he goes into court, takes the Fifth Amendment. When I answer, what's your name? I refuse to answer. So anyway, the interesting thing there was I lead off the book with the latest on him. He walks into a hospital in New Mexico a year or so ago, and he's waving my book. Do you know about this, Jack?
No, I don't know about it.
Okay, this is the opening of the book. He's waving my book and saying, they're out to kill me because of this. They're out to kill me because of this book. They calm him down, sedate him. They put him in a room and just get him calmed down. The next morning they come in, he's sitting in the chair bleeding out the mouth, quite dead. That's when I got Gunderson involved again. Gunderson contacts an old FBI friend he had down there, retired, who said, well, yeah, I can get an autopsy. They're going to do an autopsy. They did an autopsy, apparently, and we cannot get the results. Gunderson found out he couldn't get the results.
Yep.
It's totally sealed. And interestingly enough, not a word back in Nebraska, where his name was bigger in the press than any other human for a while.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I start with that, opening the new book and explaining that
yeah.
and going on and on.
Very interesting.
Because I think, if anything, I better let you take some more calls. If anything, just one after another event, whether it's Oklahoma bombing, latest events
yeah.
and developments or anything else.
Yeah. Are you a lawyer for yourself?
Pardon?
Are you an attorney yourself?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted
to know it's an ignoble profession, but what the hell?
Well, I appreciate you admitting it. Okay. Is there a way to contact you and talk to you in person?
Sure.
That website or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess I got websites and all that. You know, when I get to be God in the next world, I'm going to prevent the invention of the computer. I can't work those doggone things like my kids. 17-year-old kid can do everything on it, and I have to sit and
right.
pay him to
I
help
know what
me.
You mean.
And now I'm running again for Senate, and I swear to God, I can't believe all the things these computers can do.
What state are you running for Senate?
Hey, Dan.
Huh?
Dan?
Yeah, I am now again.
Well, what state is you running for Senate, Dan? What state?
I'm running in Nebraska for state Senate. State Senate.
Right.
And my lovely, most perfect wife and mother in the world is telling everybody, please vote. She's a Vietnamese refugee, you know. Please vote against John. Politics dirty.
Against John.
Cause trouble. He better just retire and enjoy life. Anyway,
right.
So.
Very much.
Okay, Dan, listen, we're going to let you go. We got to go to John in New York. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Good.
How you doing?
You're on with John DeCamp.
Hi, John. Hey, just in our little town, we got like a 7,000 town count population, and our judge is just commonly known to be on drugs. And one of the DAs now has been reported to have like dirty sex in a parking lot with another guy. And you know, so this thing is spreading. I was watching like 2020 the other night, and they're talking about people that are. They want to be paraplegics or whatever. You know, like one guy wants to have crutches and picks his leg up like he's got no leg. And I wonder about mind control and some of this that's being perpetrated as a control factor, because here you've got people. The one guy put his legs in ice and froze them off, so he had to have them amputated.
Yeah, I know. The world's crazy.
And you know,
I'm going to tell you just what limited amount I can tell in the short time, because, like I said, I've been threatened by so many people. If I don't have the proof, I don't say it.
Uh-huh.
When I started learning these things about kids, and some of the stories would come out, the kid were flown on military planes here or there, or they were whatever, and some of the rumors started coming out. Well, they were, when they were younger, they got into these kind of mind control programs, and allegedly some of the stories were that they were actually run or operated or controlled by the CIA.
Uh-huh.
I confronted Bill. Bill Colby, my best friend, kind of godfather and everything, who also ended up dead out of this whole thing, too. But that's another story we won't go into right here.
Right.
Lamb can tell you. So anyway, I said, Bill, here's what I'm hearing and what I want to know. I says, did the CIA really have any programs like this, or were they? And he said, John, this is exactly what he told me. John, you're too young, but you have to understand the situation. I said, what do you mean, the situation? He says, you got to remember, right after World War II, we ended up in the Korean War. And he says, you're too young, but at the height of the Korean War, we, the company, meaning the CIA, which he was involved in way back then, you know.
Yeah.
We believed, as sure as you believe I'm standing there, he said, here, he says, we believed the Red Chinese, the communists, had developed the ability to brainwash people and were brainwashing our captured soldiers. And I said, yeah, I remember. He says, but that's only half the story. We at the company actually believed that they had developed the techniques and ability to have ESP, people conditioned so they can do ESP. I said, what do you mean? He says, extrasensory perception. For example, a human being, a particular person, we could be put in front of the president at a press conference or somewhere, and he could read the real mind, the mind of the president, what the president was thinking. He says, I know, you think it sounds crazy now, but at the time, he says, we believed almost anything was possible. And he says, and this country and the company poured more money into that issue because we couldn't afford to be behind. We couldn't afford to have that system
used against us
and take control. He says, and I'll tell you one thing, John. We were never behind. We were never behind. I says, well, I want to know if kids were used. He says, well, yes, but you have to understand that too. I said, what do you mean? He says, it was supposed to be very, very, very carefully controlled to protect the children, if anything, and only children whose parents were involved or key parent was involved, and they were assured the kid would not be put in any danger, that they would simply try to learn the potential of young people in certain intellectual, call it mind control activities, so on and so forth. And I says, well, I'm hearing that they brain. He said, well, we learned, for example, that if you're going to impact and set up a separate kind of a multiple personality, he said, yeah, multiple. Anyway, he says, you use young children between the ages of roughly 7 and 15 is the best time. He says, that's when they can control. And he says, and the children were not to be abused. And he says the children were supposed to have a permission of a parent or whatever to be involved and be carefully monitored every step of the way. And I said, so what happened? He says, well, like everything that seems to be in government, something gets out of control and bad people get involved. And some people took the programs and the systems and abused them. And we never got to go too much in depth beyond that. But he did emphasize that, yes, there were such things, but they weren't intended that way. And like everything, you try to correct it, but blah, blah, blah. Anyways, just so you know.
Yes. Okay.
Well they have a Dr. Claude Swanson who's written a book on it, and he's a physicist out of MIT and whatnot. Covers a lot of that, but he also covers that basically we have a soul, and we can talk to the upper spirits that are very intelligent and helpful, but they don't get into the idea of virtue being a control factor of being able to have that ability. They don't really speak about it, and I don't know if they really know about it, but it's one of the safeguards that God's given us, and it's just kind of crazy. Like my farm, I've been attacked, but at the same time, we're a poor industry, and because I haven't had money, I've had to hire the poor, but I've got like 6 or 7 people that work for me over a 30-year period that are all labeled sex offenders, and it's like, geez, we're just a small community, so how does this all happen that, you know, I understand they're feeding us chocolate that's got lead in it and different things that are dumbing us down. And is it taking our morality away from us somehow?
Listen, we've got other callers on the line.
Thank you very much.
Bring up some good issues. Did you want to say anything to that, John DeCamp?
Just that, as strange as it sounds, it's way all beyond me, and I don't know what's true or not true.
Yeah.
What I wrote in my book touches on some of these subjects in depth, and I'm putting just as factually and simply as I can, I recite it, including Bill Colby's history and what he told me and what happened to him. As you know, he was found out.
Right, sure.
I wrote in the book, I'm sure that he was done in, but do I have the proof? No, I just believe it myself. And
right.
If I didn't have the proof, I told you what I believed or what I had seen, and then you can make your own judgments after that. And as I say, the latest book is updated literally to the last few months. I think I got a pile
Listen,
of books
John,
in here.
Give out your contact information one more time, and we have Bill on the line in Alabama. Hang on, Bill. We want to get out this information once again there, John. Please.
Okay, EWT Inc.
EWT Inc.
Yeah, that's a little publishing company I created just to...
Okay.
Anyway, and I repeat, I've never spent a penny advertising, promoting the book. It's just people like you have called, and I wrote the book strictly as a self-defense measure. Anyway, Box 85461, Lincoln, Nebraska, N-E, or Nebraska, 68501. Repeat, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501, and you can write Camp on it, or Franklin Cover Up, or AWT, or anything, it'll get there, believe me.
Okay, very good.
Or you can call the phone number if you want to order, 402-477-3974, or if you even want to fax, I guess they, 402-477-4487. That's the fax.
Okay.
And they do Visa and MasterCard, and you can call or write, and the price is $12.95 plus $4 postage and handling. For the first book, repeat, $12.95 plus $4 postage and handling. And no, I didn't write the book to make a dime. I wrote it for my own self-defense, like Bill told me to do, and it's just kind of strange. It took off and sold quite a few books, so...
Yeah. Well,
I've kept it updated, and updated it here just recently again.
Yeah, we need to sell a lot more.
I guess you can buy
it
Borders and those places,
yeah.
Borders. And
I'm surprised they sell it. I'm surprised they sell it.
Well, the strange thing is they tried to stop it a couple times, and I had big fights and then got it started again. But what's kind of surprised me off and on is on the secondhand book thing or the way they do these things on the eBay, hell, there are people selling it for $25 and $30.
Wow, my goodness.
For a used book, and these are the old editions. So I wonder what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it's a collector's item, man. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. We got the music coming up. We'll be right back to close out the program. Bill, hang on in Alabama. We'll try to get you on. Stay tuned. Be right back for more of the Officer Jack McLam program.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to a natural health and wellness. Don't just treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Okay, folks, we're coming in hot. We've just got a couple minutes left, and we want to go to Bill in Alabama on the line. Bill, we only have a few minutes. Go right ahead.
Okay, Jack. Good to speak with you.
Good to have you on.
I've never talked to you before, but I handed out a lot of your vampire killers back in 93 when our first militias up in Michigan were forming up there right after the Waco mess.
Thank you so much for that, Bill.
Yeah, you bet. I know you well from watching anyway. I wanted to give my condolences to you at the same time for that terrible story that you had to tell about your son. I heard that day you broke that information, and I hope you can get that resolved somehow.
I hope so. I
sure
really do. We're worried about the other Army families right now who are being led into this man's office with their children. That's sad.
And I heard Eric Williams call in that same day. He sounded like he was about as mad as I was.
Yeah.
I was sitting here waving my .45 around, and I was just at the edge of my chair with anger over having to even listen to that. Senator DeCamp.
Yes, sir.
It's good to speak with you. Quite a book you've written, and you sure put yourself out there in the forefront of this thing. And being from Nebraska, I know you know a lot about the Franklin cover-up.
Yeah.
And it seems that it goes anyway from one end of the country, Bohemian Grove, all the way to the White House.
Yeah, and I was the first one to identify that Bohemian Grove stuff and so on and so forth, and I guess a lot of investigations and information has come out since then.
Yes, sir. I watched the video of that boy, and I realized why he and Lisa had to back off and get out of it. I've got a couple of questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Back to Johnny Gosch getting into the White House. You know, he occupied the chair right outside the president's office there at the Oval Office.
Whoever that man was, or is. Well,
I know who he was. I found out where his website was. I did some real digging. I went and I seen his pictures.
So you probably know more than I do.
He's $2,500, or thinks he's worth $2,500 a weekend anyway. I also have a picture of President Bush. He has Johnny Gosch as if they were talking, except Gosch has got his head down on the president's shoulder, low on his shoulder, and the president has got his hands around the back of his head with his fingers spread, a very tender embrace is what it is.
I truly know nothing about this, sir.
Okay, I've got the picture. I mean, this is on the web. You can find it.
Hmm.
And, I'm just, one of my questions is, I'm not going to put it to you personally, except to throw it out more or less this way. Is there anybody else out there that thinks, as I do, that perhaps our president is a bisexual? You know, he's been in the Secret Service has got 100.
Okay, I'm only going to tell you what I truly don't know. I would have no comment personally on this issue. What I do know is I've received that question from a lot of people who have called me privately or individually or written me and made various claims or allegations. Do I know anything? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, Bill, we're just about totally out of time. Hope you'll call back again. Let me give the last minute to Senator John DeCamp here, okay? Bill, thanks for calling in. Okay.
Well,
is there anything you'd like to say to close out our two-hour program there, brother? I tell you, we just admire you so much and appreciate your backbone.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll give you a little background on myself. I was grew up in a little town in Nebraska. When I was about 13, 14, my family kind of fragmented, and I ended up being sent to an institution for a while and left there, and then spent about 3-4 years over in Persia, over in the Middle East, learned to speak Farsi, Persian, better than English for a while.
I'll be there.
16, 17, 18, 19, so I watched this war with great caution because it's going to be a religious war. I better shut up on that issue. But anyway, I then came back and got into college, even though I didn't have a high school diploma at the time, and graduated pretty decent. Got a law degree.
I hear that music, John.
Oh, they want me to run away.
Yeah, we're at the top of the hour here. God bless you, brother. Thanks for being on with us, okay?
You be good. Holler again.
All right. Take care. God bless everybody out there. And don't forget, this old cop truly does love you.
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to stoptheftaa.org and help keep America free. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.